This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
One more win. With five games to go in the Cinch Premiership, Celtic are on the brink of a second straight title under Ange Postecoglou. With the League Cup already in the bag, the champions are still in the hunt for a treble. And on this week's Record Celtic podcast, we will look at leg three of the quest, the Scottish Cup, and more to the point, Sunday's semi-final game against Rangers at Hampden. Joining us this week to look ahead to the massive tie at the National Stadium is Chris Sutton, a man who scored goals in semi-finals against the Ibrox team at Hampden. And we're also joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon, who has
never scored any goals at any point in time in his life.
Written about guys who have scored goals in semi-finals at Hampden. Lads, how are we?
Very good, thanks. Yeah, looking forward to this as ever.
Michael?
Yes, guys, it's an exciting week, isn't it? We're getting to the business end now.
Yeah.
Tell your face, Mick.
What's that, Chris, sorry?
Tell your face.
Tell my face, unfortunately, it's stuck this way.
Tell your face is exciting, Mick. Come on. Don't look excited. Come on.
And we appear to have started as we mean to go on.
Can we turn the cameras off, chat?
We'll get to the semi-final in due course. First of all, Chris, you have said consistently the league is never over until it's over. But would you now concede that Celtic have got it won now?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it? But you can't think like that as a player, and you know, until it's done. Now, you know, these are the hardest five games that Celtic have had, you know, this season with the split. Just maybe showed a bit of a sign of fatigue, and you know, the squad wasn't as strong as Ange Postecoglou would have liked. The bench at Celtic has made, you know, an impact a lot of the time this season. It wasn't there at the weekend, but you know, as a player, you don't focus on all you do is you focus on the next game, and the most important thing is, from a player's point of view, you don't switch off. You keep playing with that intensity and get over the line, and you know, you worry about all that stuff after. But you can't think as a player that the league is won until it actually is won. That's a dangerous thing to think.
Michael, it looks a foregone conclusion. We just prior to coming onto the podcast, we have been given word on what the fixtures will be for the post-split games. So we'll get back to that at the end once we've had a look at the semi-final. But just in terms of the league, you've said for a while you thought it was done and dusted. And would you now, are you now pretty sure of it?
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's done. It's finished. Certainly haven't dropped, dropped points in three games all season. Probably lose five games after the split. It's finished. It's a procession now. It's a matter of just picking the chance to go and celebrate. It's all about this game on Sunday. I mean, this is now the be-all and end-all in terms of on the horizon, potential treble, Rangers try to salvage their season. The league is done and dusted, and I'm sure they'll enjoy their canter to the line. But this is what it's all about now, this game on Sunday. It's in focus now. And I think it's huge in terms of, for both clubs, I think it's in terms of the rest of the season.
It's interesting, Stoney. It's interesting that, you know, players can't think like journalists. That, you know, they can't have that mindset, and, you know, Celtic are in a great position. But, you know, the other thing, there's a couple of things, isn't there? Because there have been people who have talked about the league lacking strength, not being as strong as it should be. And, we've seen evidence of the weekend that, you know, the Scottish League is perfectly fine with Aberdeen beating Rangers and Motherwell putting up a pretty resolute display at Celtic and getting a point. So, you know, there is that. And the other thing, which, you know, I've said many times on podcasts, which we've done together, I think that it's really underestimated the Celtic players, what they've achieved this season in terms of just grinding out results, you know, sheer willingness and determination. It's hard to win games of football. and we're getting near the end now of the season. And as I say, I don't think performances have quite been there, but, you know, it's really, really difficult to keep winning games. There was all this talk about Celtic breaking the record. You know, it's really not easy. So, you know, from a former player's point of view, I really take my hat off to Ange Postecoglou and the team for, you know, the way that they've played this season in the league, and their sheer bloody mindedness to keep winning games of football. It's a difficult thing to do. I think that's underestimated.
I was just going to say, you think it's been undervalued, Chris?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think people take that for granted. You know, every week, you know, the group of players, they're expected to go out and entertain and, you know, win games. And, you know, I think this season performance levels have been very, very high. But I also think there's a danger, not necessarily of Celtic fans, but of just everything becoming too comfortable. And that, you know, that expectation being there, well, we'll annihilate them, we'll annihilate the next team. It's not like that. And, you know, the player's mindset has to be really strong and the manager's mindset has to be really strong. And, you know, just listening to Ange Postecoglou talk in recent weeks, I think he's well aware of the danger when people say, well, the league is done, that it's not easy because, I mean, look, I mean, essentially now 2 points from five games or one win, whichever way you want to look at it. You know, but the players still have to go out there, have the right frame of mind and perform.
Michael, with that in mind, looking ahead to the semi-final on Sunday, the majority of people would suggest this as the treble game for Celtic, automatically dismissing Inverness and Falkirk. Is that the case? Or is Chris right? You write no one off and you shouldn't think like that.
Listen, you shouldn't think like that, but let's be honest here. I mean, even people who are involved with Inverness and Falkirk wouldn't be expecting anything. I mean, I feel them thinking, go and enjoy your day out, pick up the money that it makes them, which will make a huge difference to their campaigns next season. But nobody
falling into the trap, Sotty. He's falling into the trap.
Nobody's going to expect them to be doing exams. Celtic have been clattering teams left, right, and centre all season.
Do you think that'll be the Inverness or the Falkirk mindset going into a final, thinking, oh, well, let's just have a nice day out. Let's pick up the money. Let's not dream big. Let's not think about the chance of making history and making a mark. Do you think that'll be their mindset? Why don't we all just give up? There's nothing wrong with dreaming big.
I'm dreaming of getting a 32-inch jeans again, but it's not going to happen. I mean, you can all dream big. Listen, they've done well to get to
that's
this stage.
That's because you've not
well got
the discipline, mate.
Well, that's true. But listen, you'd expect this is the game. Whoever wins this game on Sunday is going to be the overwhelming favourites to go and lift the trophy. And it'd be the biggest shock of all time if either of them lost in the final against those two teams. So that's where we'd be. It would be the biggest shock ever.
So why don't they bring the trophy along for the semi-final then, if it's done and dusted?
Well, we know how it works. This meritocracy they've got. If these teams get to the final, they deserve to be there. Just because they deserve to be there doesn't mean they've got a chance of winning it. They can dream, they can think big, and I think that's what they should do. But the reality is, they'll get it doing.
Chris, how do you view the form going into the game on Sunday? Celtic's form and are Rangers losing their way a little bit under Michael Beale?
Oh, blimey. Look, we're a Celtic out. I think the strength off the bench has been a big thing. Of course, you know, Jota not playing. Hatate's a really interesting one because even if he is fit and training this week, he's been out for so long. Is it 5 weeks or 6 weeks, whatever it is? That's a long time to be out. I suspect that Ange Postecoglou may think it's not worth the gamble anyway, so Celtic will just have to get on with it. I think Haksabanovic is an interesting one. I actually like some of his cameos off the bench, and, you know, he's looked a danger. I think he's better off the left-hand side. But it looks that, you know, if Jota isn't fit, he'll have to start off that right-hand side. I think that's a weak area for Rangers defensively. I think you can get at Barisic, but Haksabanovic wasn't really prominent at the weekend, didn't have a strong performance. So, you know, he needs to rock up. But, you know, I suspect from Celtic's point of view, they'll just concentrate on their performance and hope that's enough to win the game. You know, it'll be the same old Celtic. We know how they play, but I suspect Hatate will be too much of a risk for Ange Postecoglou at the weekend, to start anyway.
Michael, would you agree with that? You were obviously at the last Celtic against Rangers game at Celtic Park, and Aaron Moy was in a similar situation, came back off an injury, and maybe it was fair to say on that day he looked maybe a wee bit rusty or just a wee bit off it. Do you need to be in form and in games to start on Sunday? I mean, what do you think?
I think you've been quite kind. I think even Aaron Moy admitted he was rusted on old gate that day. I think he's the kind of player that needs to play a few games to get up to speed, doesn't he? It's sort of early in the season as well. The fact that Celtic have got these injury problems opens the door to Rangers, doesn't it? I mean, I think Jota was a huge miss at the weekend. I think I agree. I like Aksabanovic. I think he's got his attributes, but he's not Jota. He doesn't beat a man the way Jota does. He doesn't take the early pass the way Jota does. I think there's a few times at the weekend when Kyogo was running to the front post and Aksabanovic turned back into the traffic. And you could see him, for a wee guy, smiling all the time. He had a wee frown in his head at times, thinking, get the ball across the goal. Give me something to attack.
Sounds like the hounds are out in the Sutton household.
You let your dogs out.
Come on, Michael, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I think Jota's a big miss. He's a key man if he's involved. I think his absence at the weekend was telling, getting those early balls across the face of goal. But does it open the door to Rangers, doesn't it? Gives them a wee chance, because Hatate's another one. I don't think, you wouldn't imagine he'll be able to slot straight back in. So it might change the way Celtic operate in the game. It makes it a more even game. I think if Celtic have all their men fit and firing, I think there's only one winner at the weekend. But the fact that these guys are major doubts and could miss out makes it a more level and balanced game, I think.
Chris, how do you rate the Rangers' form going into the semi-final? Losing at Aberdeen on Sunday wasn't the ideal build-up, obviously.
No, it wasn't. Look, I mean, do I think that'll have a bearing on the semi-final? Absolutely not. I mean, you know, if there was a tiny bit of a chance Rangers winning the league after, you know, Celtic slipping up, dropping points at the weekend, that was an opportunity gone. I think that Michael Beale would have wanted to, you know, go into the Celtic game with real momentum. I still think they've got issues. If Goldson isn't fit, if Kent isn't fit, which, you know, they look like they are doubts. But, you know, I think it's enormous for Rangers in terms of, I think that they are the team under major pressure going into this game. I think Celtic will just go out with the attitude and that intensity that they can go and play. I think this is a must win for Michael Beale and Rangers. If they don't win, I think that inevitably there will be pressure immediately from the off at the start of the next season, because, you know, this season what's happened, Michael Beale has come in and, you know, you've got the Scottish League, you've got the Michael Beale League, is losing in both, and now you've got this enormous game coming up at the weekend. He's had a lot to say about Ange Postecoglou, had a lot to say about a lot of things. Essentially, that's okay, you know, having a lot to say, but, you know, the most important thing is backing up with performances on the pitch. Domestically, in fairness to him, I think that Rangers have improved. Maybe a short, sharp shock at the weekend losing to Aberdeen, and that will give them the desired kick up the backside to really go and compete with Celtic. But I'm similar to Mick in terms of the way I think the game will pan out. You know, I'd still make Celtic slight favourites, but the pressure's all on Rangers.
Just before we move on to the team scenario that Mick touched on a little bit earlier, Chris, if we can move on to that with you. You were just talking about things that have been said. There was an interesting some comments from one of the Rangers staff members prior to the game at Aberdeen, Neil Banfield, but comments from Ange Postecoglou after the Via Play final.
Yeah, does anybody know what those comments
something like
were?
Leaving a taste in the mouth and yeah, I'm thinking we're coming for Celtic. I have to be honest, I was fortunate enough to be working that day. I was in the press room and Ange Postecoglou spoke. I can't think of anything that was anything other than respectful that he said. I don't really know. Is this, have you any idea, Chris? Is this just an attempt to fire up his own players or the Rangers player? I mean, do you have any idea what that's all about?
I think so. I mean, you know, I think Michael Beale should, you know, make sure he keeps his staff in order and in check. As simple as that. I think this was the same guy who compared Michael Beale to Nagelsmann and Pochettino, wasn't it? You know, Michael Beale, no doubt, is a talented coach. But, you know, going into management, that's a huge shout. Eventually, he may, you know, turn into one of the greatest managers the world has ever seen. But I think comments like that, put Michael Beale under unnecessary pressure. I think he's under enough pressure at Rangers as it is. The stuff about Ange Postecoglou, clearly, unless he comes out and tells us specifically what upset him, and if there are other Rangers coaches or players upset, it's clearly designed to manufacture up a bit of a bit of spirit, really, maybe amongst the Rangers team. But I don't, he has to give a bit more clarity on what Ange Postecoglou said to upset the Rangers group. I didn't see anything which was that bad, if anything at all.
Michael, I take it the same.
It's a bit bizarre because Ange Postecoglou is so careful with his words not to kind of give anyone any ammunition, isn't he? I mean, I think if you're going to try and attempt a mind games battle with him, you're going to go into plums. You need to be up really early to beat him with that kind of stuff. So it's a strange one. I was wondering, Chris, see, like you're playing days, could you take much attention to kind of comments made from rivals? I mean, the old cliche about pinning the paper on the dressing room wall and that stuff. I'm not sure he could nail an iPad to a wall these days. But is that something that you kind of used as a motivation at any time?
Well, you've in terms of that we had the men against boys, Blackburn Rovers, Graham Souness, those famous comments where Blackburn Rovers, I love the club, but he was made to eat his words. I think Gary Flitcroft said, a former teammate of Blackburn, said something similar. My personal point of view, from that particular time was we felt we didn't play well enough ourselves. And that was the sort of driving force going down to Blackburn because Blackburn had played better football than us on the evening. So, but, I don't think that'll sort of wash with Celtic players, in terms of thinking about comments which other team have made. I mean, it's a very individual thing. Sort of as a team, though, I think that you concentrate on the way you're going to perform and your job on the pitch and your duels within the game. That's the most important thing. I think, as I said, I think Rangers are trying to build that siege mentality. Nobody likes us, which is partly true. And that's what they're trying to do, build a bit of momentum, a bit of fire going into the game. But they have to be more sort of definitive if they're going to accuse Ange Postecoglou of saying something. Well, come out and tell us what he actually said, which upset you, but nobody knows.
Do you think Ange Postecoglou, he won't say it publicly because he's too cute that way, but do you think he will want to kind of really, I think you used the phrase, rub their noses in it, I think this week. Is that something you think that he will be determined to do? I thought the league game at Celtic Park, I think it went 3-1. At that point, the game was done. Celtic were in control. We could have saw it out quite comfortably. But I thought Postecoglou went quite offensive with substitutions. I think he wanted blood. I think he wanted more. And I think it ended up backfiring a wee bit. But I think he wanted to really give him a doing.
But is he not like that in every game? Has he not been like that, since the word go, since he came in at Celtic in terms of wanting blood and thunder, wanting the team to be, the word often used is relentless. His Celtic teams, he wants to play a certain brand of football. He wants to score goals. He wants to entertain. So I don't think that Rangers are necessarily being singled out, for that. I think that's the way he wants to play his style. There's no doubt from a player's perspective that, if you're a Celtic player, you really want to rub your rival's nose in it. That works both ways. So, I think that the way that, in fairness, Postecoglou and the Celtic players have conducted themselves with regards to these games and the way they've sort of addressed themselves in the media, they've been sort of just playing everything down and saying, well, we're going to do our talking on the pitch. I think, from the other side, every sort of Rangers poor performance against Celtic this season, what happens on a Monday morning is we hear, well, you're going to see the real Rangers next time. We haven't seen the real Rangers at this moment in time. Maybe we will see it on the weekend. But, I suppose if we don't see it and Celtic win the game, well, we'll the same old rhetoric will come out. Well, you'll see the real Rangers at Ibrox. Well, we'll see, won't we?
Chris, Michael has touched on it, so I will come back to Michael on it. I know it's a difficult one at this stage. Obviously, we're moving on to the Celtic team selection now. You would guess that if everybody was fit and available, as you said, that there is pretty much a standard team there that you would expect, but that is not going to be the case. I think we know that. I think we know there's going to be guys missing. If you look at it, that you've stated that Rio Hatate has been out for a long time, it would be a big risk to put him back in. Celtic, obviously, last weekend against Motherwell, also at Kilmarnock, I think Tomoki Iwata played, Cal McGregor played. They were both in there. Matt O'Reilly was in at Kilmarnock. The situation with Callum McGregor sort of playing the anchor against Rangers, he went back to that for Ange Postecoglou, went back to that for the game at Celtic Park against Rangers, played with Moy and O'Reilly further on. What do you think he would do if the resources are the same as last weekend, for example, and the same guys are missing? Does he go back to McGregor as the six and playing Moy and O'Reilly further on? Does he bring anyone else in? Does he play Iwata as the six? And alongside McGregor, does he move McGregor? It's a puzzle, isn't it? What would you do?
I think it's a really interesting one. I think the point about McGregor, which you've made, you know, various times, is, you know, Celtic are a far better team with McGregor in that pivot role in terms of speed of passing. But I've got to say, I've been really impressed with Iwata. I think he's getting up to speed. I know his first full game up at Ross County, I thought he did all right, and he played safe. I think, you know, what we've seen in the game subsequently since then is, you know, he's becoming braver. So I think Postecoglou has the faith in Iwata, you know, in that role. I think the interesting one is Aaron Moy. Just how much fitter, how much sharper is he? I suppose the good thing from Ange Postecoglou's point of view is O'Reilly, who's had, I think most Celtic supporters would say, an indifferent season. But the fact that he's had to sacrifice himself when McGregor did get injured in that role.
I think that's an important point to make, Chris. I think that the 2 month period prior to the World Cup, when Callum McGregor was out, or 6 weeks or whatever it was, O'Reilly did sacrifice himself, and Celtic didn't drop any points in that period and stayed in the League Cup. He had a great role there. So he did do a good job for the team, didn't he?
Yeah, and you know what? I thought he took his goals brilliantly at Kilmarnock, and he's still a big strength for Ange Postecoglou's team. We know he will, you know, well, I'd say we'll know he will start on Sunday. I think his form has been pretty good. It's you know who the other midfielder is in there alongside him. Really, I suspect he'll go with Iwata because I don't necessarily think he deserves to be dropped. I think that. You know, the issue Celtic have got at the weekend is what are they going to get at Haksabanovic? I think, you know, other than that, the team is pretty settled. We know Kyogo will start as number nine, even though Mick might think, oh, may get a shot.
It was about a time before that one
returned. I can't believe he's waited, what was that, 31 minutes to mention that one? Can't believe it's taken so long.
Are you counting? You know, that's... But I don't think Celtic are in a bad position. I think we all know, and you know, if Hatate's in the team, Celtic are a better team for it. But you know, the opportunity is there for the likes of Iwata to come in and keep improving. So I don't think there's any great stress for Ange Postecoglou.
Michael,
it's interesting, isn't it? I think that McGregor is such a key man. I think in the game in the cup game at Hampden, McGregor completely ran the show from that role. Rangers could not cope with that space that he occupied in the movement and the building, the passing. And I think for the game at Celtic Park, I think they changed things, Rangers. I think Tillman and Cantwell, it didn't so much close him down, press him, but they pressed the space, and it made it more difficult for McGregor. I think Celtic might tweak it slightly again. I think Iwata would be the one I think what's going to look for. I think might try and play almost like the kind of two pivots. In there.
But, well, Chris, we're getting close to 6, 8 and 10 talk here.
Here we go. We're getting the big guns.
Michael.
Double pivots. but because McGregor's flexible, McGregor can be the one that can bust forward as well. It's an interesting matchup because Rangers, I think, will try and do something similar to did in that first kind of, in parts of the first game period at Celtic Park. It wasn't entirely successful for them, let's be honest. I think Celtic were a better team by far, to be honest with you.
Well, they set up to contain, didn't they?
You know,
as much as anything. And in terms of, they didn't carry a great threat going forward, you know, on Joe Hart's goal. And that's, you know, that's the dilemma Michael Beale, you know, has. I actually think Connor Goldson is enormous for Rangers. I think if he's not fit, then I don't think the Rangers fans would have much faith in Davies and Suter. I like Suter, actually. I think eventually he'll do a decent job at Rangers, but, you know, he's had a sort of difficult season and coming back, you know, from injury, and it's hard when you're thrown in as he was thrown in. But, you know, he doesn't shirk things, John Suter. But, you know, they've got to make sure they're watertight, but they're a far better team, you know, with Goldson in. And they're a far better team, whether you like it or not, and whether he's on his way with Ryan Kent in. So that's, you know, another situation. If, you know, he's fit, then Michael Beale has some thinking to do on his starting lineup.
Michael?
Yeah, I think it's about how Rangers approach it, isn't it? I think, because that game we're talking about, Silly Park, I mean, Tillman and Cantwell did kind of almost sacrifice themselves as attacking threats to be the kind of runners to put pressure on McGregor. But they took away from them what they can do in the final third. They didn't really have an impact in the game, did they? And they can't really do that at hand. They need to go and win this game. They can't really hang on and hope for the best. So it's kind of what Rangers do to try and combat that. Because I think what Celtic have got, they've got players, even if Itati doesn't play. I think Jota is a key one. I think Jota's, if he's near fit, he'll start, I think, which is really important.
What's the word on the street, Mick? I mean, you journalists, you have your ear to the ground, Mick. What are you hearing? I mean, you're the guys to sort of know this stuff, aren't you?
Well, the feeling is that he's closer. I think it's closer than a bad on Itati, but you never know, because there's always mixed messages coming out of Celtic Park when it comes to injuries. Like, they play it cute, don't they? So I think Jota will make it. I don't think a bad on
Itati. Back in my day, Mick, when you all just used to get all the information, you had better sort of sources then, didn't you?
Back in your day, Chris used to play pub on a Friday afternoon and get the team news.
when guys like you, Chris, would sing freely to the media, that's right, yeah. You'd have a burnt down interview as you, what you say? I'll move you on to the front three, Michael, if I could. The Celtic front three. If it's just the guys that are available from last week, and there is no Jota and Abada doesn't make it, which it's not looking likely. Could you see O and Kyogo? Does it have to be Haksabanovic and Maidy on the other side? How would you play it?
I think that is an option. I don't think the problem they've got is that Haksabanovic, Chris says, he's better on the left. I agree with him, but I don't think you can move Maida from the left, because Maida against Tavernier is a battle that Celtic will take every day of the week, because Tavernier's had problems with with Maida. Also, when Greg Taylor gets involved in inside in that converted role, it gives him a lot of problems. We saw it in the cup final. So that's not going to change. I think Maida's got to be the one on the left. So the problem is in the right. So if Jota doesn't make it, I think there's a case to put Kyogo out there and play O through the middle. I know I get slaughtered for suggesting that the last time. I didn't get the scoreline right. I was the only one that was to get the scoreline right, if I remember correctly.
But had you had your wish and Kyogo was on the bench, then you wouldn't have got the scoreline right, because, of course, he scored two.
Well, listen, if your auntie had, you know what, didn't you know? And so on. But we can't, let's not split hairs. But
it'd be slightly odd, Michael.
Well,
let's go on from that.
He's not gonna leave Haksabanovic out as a starting lineup, I don't think. I really don't. I think it's about sort of messages as well and keeping players on board. Now, you have to, nobody has a divine right to play. But, you know, I really suspect if, you know, Haksabanovic is okay, that he will start him in the game and show faith in him. In fairness, you know, Haksabanovic has had his injury problems. You know, he's come on and played little cameo roles. But I think that Ange Postecoglou will show faith in Haksabanovic, and I'm pretty sure he will start him off the right. And as I say, you know,
would this be a big moment for Haksabanovic? If you look at the impact O'Reilly had in the Rangers games as soon as he came into the team, Hatati had, Kyogo's had, Jota scored against Rangers. You talk about Haksabanovic's cameos, and fair enough, he hasn't had the opportunity to go and start a Rangers game. It's a massive chance for him on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And do you know what? I think we all think the same thing. I think that Barisic is there to be got at and, you know, attacked in 1v1 situations. And that's Haksabanovic's strength. So, you know, I actually think that, you know, he has a decent future at Celtic and things haven't worked out for various reasons, you know, injuries and you know, has had Maeder ahead of him and Jota ahead of him and Abada ahead of him at times. And Celtic have good competition in those wide areas. So, you know, it is a real opportunity for him. He came on, didn't he, in the cup final and had a big chance, went through one-on-one and didn't quite take it. But these are the games where, you know, Celtic players remember you forever if you step up in these big games. So it's a big opportunity for him. And one, actually, he should be relishing because, as I say, in those 1v1 situations, you know, I think he has the ability to give Barisic a really torrid time. And Rangers will have to make sure that Barisic has help, whether it's from, you know, whoever they play as a holding midfielder or, you know, Davies as that left centre-half. They'll have to be switched on because Haksabanovic does have the beating of Barisic.
I think this game will be easier for Haksabanovic than the Millwall game at the weekend. I think the way Millwall was set up at the weekend with the back five and the four in front, there wasn't enough a lot of space. And I don't think he's as good as Jota in the tight situations and the one-on-ones like that. But I think he will get more space. You see it in games when he's come off the bench later on. When the games open up, that's when he's best. I think this game will be slightly more open because of the way Rangers need to approach it. So I think he'll find it a bit easier when he found it at the weekend. I think I agree with you, Chris. I think he could be a real impact because I think he will get a little bit more room because Barisic likes to attack as well. His strength is going forward. So I think he will get a few sniffs in that flank. And there won't be the big sea of bodies in front of him like it was at the weekend.
I think Mick makes a... He doesn't often make a valid point, but he's made a really valid point.
Hold on.
it is about, I mean, the game's going to depend on how Rangers approach it. We know what Celtic are going to do. They don't change for anybody. They didn't change in the Champions League and had some, you know, some sort of bad moments. Because, I mean, you know, away in Madrid when they were five down after, 60, 70 minutes and chucking seven bodies into the box, you know, it was sort of an interesting watch. You know what Postecoglou's going to do? But it's up to Michael Beale to, okay, Rangers want to win the game and it's however you win, but they also want to show that they can dominate Celtic. And I'm not so sure that they're capable of doing that. A lot's been made about Raskin and Cantwell coming in and being an upgrade. But, you know, we saw at the weekend against Aberdeen, there's still a lot of work to be done at Rangers. Celtic is the ultimate acid test. Are they brave enough to go toe-to-toe with Celtic? And, you know, without Hatate, I think that, you know, they stand a better chance. But I'm still not so sure that the players have the absolute confidence. And, you know, Sunday will tell whether, you know, they can really take the game to Celtic.
Right, gentlemen, quick prediction, because I want to get onto the post-split fixtures and get your opinion on that. So how do you see it going, Chris, briefly? Sunday?
I think it'll be a draw.
Okay, that's great. Then what happens after that?
I think Goldson's big if he comes back in for Rangers, but I suspect Celtic will just edge this one. I think the pressure's off Celtic and I think that they can go and play and, you know, they always try and play with freedom, but I don't think
that's... How can you say the pressure's off Celtic when they're chasing a treble?
Because that's the way, because the league is the be all and end all in that respect. And all okay, there's still a little bit of work to do, but I think that Celtic players will go into the game thinking, well, we've got a 13-point gap in the league. That's nearly over. We've still got to concentrate on getting over the line. But in terms of what's at stake, the pressure is all on Rangers. I mean, look, you can argue the point that there is pressure because of the nature of wanting to win a treble, but in terms of who does this game mean more to? I think that, you know, it mean more to Rangers players. But in terms of how would I feel about going into the game, I'd be feeling like I wanted to rub the opposition's noses in it, really. And there would be that determination. But, you know, in terms of pressure, if I was a Rangers player, I would be feeling it.
Right, Michael, Chris has predicted both teams in the through to the finals.
2-1 Celtic.
Right, okay, we got there in the end, Michael.
I think there's a sense of vulnerability with this Rangers team. I think, talk about pressure, I think when the pressure's really been on, they've buckled. I think they play well when there's no pressure, like the game.
You think they'll buckle again then, Mick?
I do. I think Celtic, this could be a pretty comfortable victory for Celtic. I think if they go on the front foot and get an early goal, I think they could dish out a sore one this weekend. I think Celtic will, despite their injury problems, I think Celtic will steamroll the Rangers this weekend. I think so.
What score, mate?
Three's up.
Okay, yeah. That's something to take care of.
This is a podcast with bold opinions. Chris is going like that. One game at a time. League's not done. It'll be a draw in a cup semi-final. The most outspoken pundit is getting scales from his bum.
Now, that was the draw. The draw, believe it or not, Mick, was sarcasm.
It's hard to tell, Chris.
Yes, right, sarcasm. You've taken us on beautifully to the post-split fixtures, Chris. I would assume you may have a bit of sarcasm. You've seen, we've just seen prior to coming on to the podcast, Celtic's first opportunity to secure the league will be against Hearts at Tynecastle. And then after that, it's an away game against Rangers, where if Celtic fail to beat Hearts and Rangers defeat Aberdeen in their first game, Celtic will have the chance to win the league at Ibrox. But they wouldn't have any supporters there. So what's your take on
that? If that's the case, they'd still probably enjoy the lap of honour with the trophy jogging around Ibrox. I'm sure they'd really enjoy that. It is what it is, and the games had to be put in some particular order. I mean, it does seem like, they don't want Celtic fans to celebrate winning a title, but Celtic fans will celebrate anyway, you know, wherever they are, whether they're in the homes, whether they're in the pubs of Glasgow, they're going to celebrate. Hearts, we saw their performance against Ross County, maybe a changed team under Stephen Naismith. But look, Celtic have got five games left, and it's just about getting over the line. From a player's perspective, they'll celebrate anyway. It's a bit of a shame, but, you know, I think St Mirren's the third game, isn't it, at home after the split. So, look, they can celebrate with the supporters anyway, and that would be my focus as a player. From a fan's perspective, I suppose there'll be an element of disappointment that, they're not going to get the opportunity of playing a St Mirren or Aberdeen at home first game after the split. But don't think it's any great surprise the way the fixtures have come out.
Michael?
Yeah, listen, we're lucky in Scotland because of a split. You can almost kind of manufacture drama because of these fixtures. But when there's a massive league that they've got, there's only so much drama you can manufacture. Do you know what I mean? It is what it is. And we're limited to the amount of games that can be shown in certain times on TV and all that stuff as well. So it's a bit of a minefield trying to work it all out. So I don't think it matters too much. I think, Celtic won at Tynecastle and it's wrapped up. But interesting, do you think there'll be a guard of honour at Ibrox, Chris? Think there should be?
I'd like to think so. I think as a player, you do the right thing.
Would you?
I'm not playing anymore, Mick.
Okay. No, he's on the fence again.
That's one for the next podcast.
Mick, it's important to do the right thing as a player. I'm sure Mick Beale and the Rangers players would, they would respect their opponents.
That's one for the next podcast, Warnie, I think.
Yes, I think so. Michael, Chris, thank you very much for your time today. Much appreciated. We look forward to hearing your views after the semi-final at Hampden to see if you were both correct. And we'll also speak if and when Celtic secure the league championship trophy and have a wee look back on the season. So thanks very much for your time, boys. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Good luck.